Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Appealing to God. It's interesting, this phrase, appealing to God. What is appealing to God? And there's a couple of things that are appealing to God. One thing, and you read the definition just for the word appealing, is marked by earnest entreaty. And another is having appeal. So something can be appealing, or someone can be appealing to somebody else for something. And what we're going to look at today is the fact that I think that appealing to God is very appealing to God. And one of the things that I think in any relationship, it's not that God doesn't know what we need, he knows what we need before we even ask, but there is something about asking. There is something about thanking. There are simple little things. When my girls come to me and say, Daddy, this is going on, can I get, $20, $500, whatever, the thing is, the numbers go up. You want to be in sports, it's going to cost X. They come and ask, and it's not like I don't get the emails from school and the printouts. I know I could just write a check or Rebecca just give her the cash and do it, but there's something about them coming to you and acknowledging their need, and then on the backside of that, when it happens, saying thank you. There's just little things that are so simple that make sense to us as parents, if you're a parent, but it makes sense too to God in just our coming to him instead of just assuming, well, God's going to take care of me because he's got to. Well, yes, but there's lots of scripture that talks about prayer, and it's not just assuming God's going to do something. There's some stuff that doesn't get done without our asking somehow. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up, it takes time. When I pray, I think I get through. I don't get up, at 4 a.m. and pray for 2 or 3 hours. There are great men of God who've done that, and I think before it's all over, if I intend to end up worth anything in the spiritual sense, it's going to take more time with God. I enjoy reading the scriptures now. I didn't enjoy doing that. When I do pray, it's heartfelt as much as possible. But if you intend to get close to God and see God do extraordinary things in your life and the lives of your friends and family and the church and the world, wherever you are, it ain't going to happen without praying. And I don't want to say this, make a too blanket a statement in ignorance, but I'm guessing, and I feel pretty strongly about this, that anything worthwhile spiritually that happens is traceable to prayer. And when I sit down with somebody and share the gospel and see somebody born literally again, a second time in a spiritual sense, and their whole life changed, one of the first things I ask them, because I know I'm not operating by myself in that situation, I say, who do you know that you think or know for a fact has been praying for you for a long time? And inadvertently, they will spit out some names. My mom, my grandmother, my aunt, my sister, whatever, whoever it is, they can pull a name out usually. I think somebody's been praying for me. Now, I usually get the joy of sharing the gospel with somebody. Somehow, either way I'm gifted or whatever happens, I just am in the place where I get to see people saved. But let me tell you something. They don't get saved without somebody sowing. And somebody's on their knees somewhere praying for these people. Now, one of the toughest things in talking to you about prayer and why I guess even I don't get it is I'm a more visual, I'm a more tangible, I want to see something happen. And it takes an inordinate amount of faith, or at least the use of a little faith if you have it, to climb in a closet somewhere and pray and pray and pray day after day after day, and a year go by. And 5 years go by, and 10 years go by, and 30 years go by, and you say nothing's happening. But to climb back in that closet and not give up, that takes some faith. And then to lay maybe one day on your deathbed, and in your brain, and you know for a fact what you've been praying for still hasn't happened, but you say, Lord, I may be dying, but my prayers are living, and I'll see you in a minute, but you've still got to come through on this. And the fact that Jesus himself, the scripture says, ever lives to what? Make intercession for us. If you think Jesus just sat down and quit, the book says he sat down and he is still harassing the Father. And when you drop the name, and I know people can drop names, you know, I know this and that, I know so-and-so went this and did that. When you drop the Jesus name, you just drop the name. And you want to get something done, you say, Father, I'm coming to you in Jesus' name. And he's not like he's not right there next to you. And this is what I think is supposed to happen. If I'm wrong, you change my asking. But as far as I know, this is according to what Scripture says. This is what's supposed to be happening. You need to be doing something about this. And then you wait, you know, say, okay, it didn't happen today. You climb back in that closet tomorrow. You say, now, Lord, we need to talk about something because this didn't happen yet. Now, you say, and kind of what I say, I'm too tired, got kids, I got, you know, it's just nuts. I mean, if you got kids, well, anyhow, there ought to be support groups. I told somebody, I finally get happy hour, okay? I'm going to tell you what happy hour is about. There ought to be a Christian place, someplace, where for 30 minutes, I don't care if it's Gatorade, whatever you got, just to leave work and pull in somewhere and just sit down a minute before you go to your next job. Because you go home, you got homework, you got stories to tell, tears to dry, you know, who knows what happened that day. But somewhere just to stop in that transitional little piece, you know, bumper to bumper traffic usually isn't my idea of happy hour. Although that's about as happy as it gets for some people. But somewhere to stop. But whether you're raising kids, whatever you're doing, you are going to have to stop. You're going to have to make some time to pray. And I think you end up with more time if you take some time praying. Because you're going to use the time that you do have more wisely than you've been using it maybe. All right, let's jump in here with some scriptures. And some of these are pretty tough stories. And if you've read them and maybe you have, you go, ooh, what's up with this? And the first one is one of those. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, to Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. And listen how she addresses him. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. She knows who he is, calls him Lord. My daughter is severely demon-possessed, but he answered her not a word. And do you ever feel that way? You cry out to God, you got a legitimate beef. You know, my daughter is demon possessed, and Jesus says nothing. And he's standing there. This isn't, you know, teleconferencing here. He's right there. She's come from Canaan to talk to him. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. She wouldn't go away. She kept harassing Jesus, following him. She says, you know, get rid of her. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this is very interesting in itself. People say, well, what about the Jews? What about the Jews? This is a passage you can read them. He is so focused on the Jews, he almost bounced this woman. He didn't want there to be any misunderstanding that he had come primarily, first of all, after his people, the Jews, and was going to make it clear to them, you've had every opportunity, every chance. I came, I am focusing on getting the good news, the truth to you. Pay attention. And then this woman comes who's not supposed to be reached technically yet, and you'll see how in a second, and she's screaming and harassing him, and he says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, when you get in a tough spot, you will do anything. A woman, a mother in particular, and I'm not saying dads don't cry for help, but there ain't nothing like a mama crying out for help, not for herself, but for her children. And this mama has got a child who is demon-possessed. She knows that. And she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And listen to what he says. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. That makes you feel good. You say, well, there's got to be a problem. You think the Bible's full of errors? There's one right there. He couldn't have possibly said that to some woman who's crying out to him and worshiping him and calling her a dog. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, I can't explain all this. I can tell you a little bit about it. The point to me is this woman didn't care what he said. She knew who he was, what he could do, and she wasn't going away. She said, you know, I'm going to chase you. I'm going to harass you. I'm going to worship you. And no matter what you say to me, I'm going to come back with something because I'm not leaving without help from my little girl. Now, I don't know where you are in your asking. Somebody's referred to prayer as kind of a spare tire in your car. You don't need it until something goes wrong. It just sits there. And then when something goes wrong, boy, you're whipping that. Oh, I'm glad I got this. And oh, help me. And I got a tire here. No, this is the ticket. Prayer is carrying that spare tire around all day long, every day, saying, God, this isn't just something for the trunk. This is without ceasing. And I need you. There's a song that talks about it's the air that I breathe. And when you get to the place where you realize I cannot live, move, have my being, I can't even stay alive without God's support, without his power, without him in my life, I got nothing. You're going to be talking to him. I read another place where a guy changed his whole prayer life, where someone sat down and they said, Father, thank you for this food and for this water. And the guy said when he got done hearing that prayer, he thought, oh my gosh, how many times do I thank God for my water? And how many places on the planet are there where water gets really scarce and just something to drink is a powerful thing? At some point, you get appreciative, you start thanking God for stuff, you ask God for stuff, but when you start asking God for stuff like your life or somebody else's depends on it, it will change the way you ask. And her daughter's life depended on it. She says, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour, just like that. Now, I don't know that Jesus replies to me this way. I've never gotten that deal. I've never stood face to face with him. I don't know what she felt, but you know what? She didn't care what he said. She had faith greater than any rejection, greater than anything. Don't give up. He said, but it's not happening. It's not changing. My kid's still messed up. My husband's still a piece of work. My wife's still running around. My, you know, whatever your story is. All right, let's give up. Now where are you going? Now who are you going to take it to? Take it to a bottle? Take it to some drugs? Take it shopping? See, we go run all those old traps and come back and go, you know what, that didn't work. And then we're in a quandary. We say, well, God, you're not doing it fast enough. He says, yeah, but where are you going to go? Trust me. Talk to me. Ask me. Don't give up. Now, I promise you, there's no question in this room, much less beyond here, people listening, somebody's on the verge of giving up because it's getting tough. Your job, your family, your husband, your wife, your kids, your mom, your dad, it's intense. And it's probably not going away sometimes. And the only way you're going to make it is to have a little talk with Jesus. But my mama's prayer was simply, she taught people to pray this, help, Jesus, help. And if that's all you can get out, and if you can't even get the words out, sometimes groanings will do, because you know what? He understands all that mess too. Luke 18, verse 1 and following. This is Jesus again. Then he spoke a parable to them, and then I love this, that he flat out says what this one is about, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Flat out, that's what the story is about, okay? There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I'm tired of this woman. I don't fear God. I don't care about this, but I'm not going to get rid of her unless I do what she comes appealing to me about. She's not going away. She wants justice. So what'd she do? She wore him out. And this is Jesus talking. Then the Lord said, Jesus says, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, let me read you two little words again here. And it's his own elect who cry out when? Day and night. Now, let me tell you the difference in day and night in, oh, God, help me, one time. Well, I whooped up a prayer. So you can do something with that. You go read the story of Daniel. He's got enemies. He's got people who literally set him up. The way they're going to destroy him is because his spiritual life is so consistent. His prayer life is so consistent. That's where they nab him, because they say, if we can get the king to write some law that says you can't pray or worship anybody else, then we got Daniel, because he ain't going to quit no matter what. And you know what? They're right. They get the law passed. They go find Daniel. And not only is he praying all day long, so many times a day, he opens his windows So everybody can see him. He says, you know what? I'm not changing my life. I've been praying. I am praying. I'm not hiding. I'm right here where you thought I'd be, and I'm not going to quit because I trust God more than I fear you. And he stuck with his plan. Now you say, well, I'm praying for something. Are you praying day and night? All the time? No matter what? Day and night, day and night. Now, how many have something going on that is serious enough that it probably is going to require some day and night prayer till something changes? Raise your hand if you got something like that. Now, behind every one of those hands usually don't represent, well, my aunt left me $2 million. I just don't know how to spend it. Pray for me. Right? It's just such a huge struggle to know where to spend all this money. You know, what's usually behind those hands? You got trouble. It's physical stuff. It's sickness. It's a husband. It's a wife. There's a woman, and I talked to she and her husband a few months ago. He was in a car wreck, lost use of one arm. He had some other problems, lost use of the other arm. 5 discs operated on. He can't get up. They may get him in a wheelchair. You know what? He kind of, at some point, doesn't even want to live. Now, tell me how they're going to make it. He can't work. And you know, to get any kind of help in the world today, you have to be destitute to get government help, right? You can't be going down and saying, I need some assistance. They got to wipe you out first. Now you got to be poverty stricken, and then they'll kick in. So you got to go down the toilet before you can get some help. Now that's a day and night situation. And you think God doesn't hear him? I guarantee he hears. But the caveat here is in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Who? His elect who cry out day and night. And it seems like he's taking too long, but you know what? He's listening. My advice to you is wear him out. You think you got something that God wants to do, and somehow, and I'm telling you, I don't get it. I can't explain it. Why in the world God would set it up where his people have to ask him for stuff that he wants to do, and that's some cosmic spiritual thing that goes down, and just because I asked and that triggers something, you know what? That's the deal. Jesus prayed and still praying for us, and God is telling us to ask him and to pray and to intercede on behalf of people. And it works. You say, well, I can't see it. I can't prove it. You know what? Just do it. It's kind of like fasting. There's a girl I sat down with recently and I explained to her fasting. She says, I just don't get it. I don't see it. I said, well, look, there's only one way to figure this out. I said, try it. If it doesn't work, quit. And she started fasting and praying about her situation. And then she sends me, she says, I still don't get it, but I'm getting too many results. I can't quit. Quit trying to figure prayer out and just do it. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. Think about one thing that you know. And see, the problem with this sometimes is you say, well, I don't have any problems. You know what? You ain't the only thing on the planet either. Part of our problem is say, well, if I don't have any struggles, I don't have to pray for anybody else, do I? My life's beautiful. It may be that God has you all set and pretty so you can intercede for somebody else. Now, if you can't come up with something on your own, then think right outside of your little circle. Say, if I got a family member, a friend, a coworker, somebody's in trouble, that you have sensed the Holy Spirit saying, you know what? You're it. You're the one to stand in the gap. You're the one to pray for this person and help get them through. Whether you ever get credit for it here or not, you'll get credit for it. It just won't be here. Now, everybody got some one thing, either in your own life or somebody else's. Have you figured out somebody, something that you think, you know what? I could cry out to God day and night for that. That's worth praying for. I have friends that come up to me and say, you know what? My mom's still not a Christian. My dad's still not a Christian. How many of you have mom and dad or family members? Let's go with this. Family members that are not Christians yet. All right, forget making something up. There's your deal. If it ever dawns on you what happens to them eternally if they die without Christ, you got some day and night praying to do. Ephesians chapter 6. The whole passage in there, verse 10 and following, where he talks about the armor of God, the whole context of the armor of God is prayer. He says in verse 17, just at the end of the armor, he says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he rolls right into verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, this is Paul writing, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now you think, well, Paul doesn't need boldness. He's like the wildest thing in the Bible. I'm going to pray for Paul having boldness. He's nuts. You know what? Everybody gets tired. Everybody gets afraid. As long as you're in a body, you're a human being, you got challenges. There are days that I'm done. Now, I don't talk about it a lot, but we all got those days. And then all of a sudden, something kicks in. You know what? I don't think it's me kicking in. I think it's God, and I think somebody's praying for me. And while you're praying, if you are praying for me, you say, well, I don't know what to pray for you. Just read Ephesians. Just get your Bible out and say, God, Ephesians 6, this is what I'm praying for Richard. This is what I'm praying for my mom, my dad, my kids, whatever it is. You want to pray something for your kids? Pray Ephesians 1, that God would give your children a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. Pray that. That works for anybody. There's some great prayers in here. You just read the Bible and pray it. But he's asking them, he's telling them to pray with prayer and supplication, perseverance, all the saints, and he says, and include me in that. We have got to pray for each other. I emailed a guy, and again, I am no authority on this. I hope I learn more about it and get better at doing this the older I get. But the Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian, if you're not a Christian, this is going to be the most whack thing you've ever heard anyway, but you know, here's how it works. The Holy Spirit lives in you as a Christian, and out of nowhere, I'm tapped, I'm prompted, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Boom, a name comes in my head, and I'm supposed to do something. Now, if he tells you just to pray for him, pray for him. I was prompted to send an email. You say, well, how do you know that? He said, you know, you get this, send an email now. You know, do you hear a voice? It's not a Martian voice. It's just the longer you do it, the longer you walk and talk with God, you're going to get these promptings. You know what? You got to obey this stuff. Because if you kept a log on Holy Spirit promptings and people being under a bus someplace, you'd be amazed at how it goes. And I have people say, well, why am I awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning? Because it's not 3 o'clock everywhere on the planet. There may be somebody at noon somewhere on this side of the planet, a Christian who's about to get beheaded for being a Christian. And the Holy Spirit said, could I tap you just for a few minutes to pray for somebody who's about to die for me? Oh no, Lord, I got a busy day tomorrow. Well, they don't even have tomorrow, so big deal. It's this 24/7 world clock, get in the game. And I think we get to heaven and somebody come up and say, hey, remember, I just realized, you know, you were praying that night. It was for me. I don't even know you. It didn't matter. The Holy Spirit used you. You were willing to intercede on my behalf. And if it's not just praying for somebody, then he taps you and says, call them. Okay, I'll call them after work. No, I said, call them now. Send them an email now. Write them a letter now. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. I've had people, they pick up the phone or the same thing happened, them calling me. I say, man, wow, I can't believe you just called me. You know, oh, what a coincidence. He's at work. The question is whether you're at work or not. It is very appealing to God for us to be appealing to God. And you know what? It is very appealing to anybody to know somebody's praying for you.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let me give you one other secret thing I think you can do. Call somebody, and if you don't get them on the phone, then wait till their answer machine comes on, and then start praying. Dear God, I want to thank you for blank. You know, don't say blank. It doesn't, not very effective. Dear God, I want to thank you for Bob. I thank you for his life. I don't know what's going on, but you told me to call him, so I called him. And I pray that whatever he's going through, you'll give him strength, you'll give him courage, you'll give him wisdom. Just pray for the person. Do you know how unbelievable it is to check your voicemail and hear somebody going, dear God, pray for Bob? You say, well, they didn't get it when I called. That's God's problem. See, God is so smart, he says, okay, if you throw the ball now when the car gets down there, it'll hit the car because it's moving. It's a moving target. So the Holy Spirit knows he ain't going to pick up his voicemail for an hour to an hour later, but that's when he's going to need it. You do what I told you to do right now, and it'll all be fine. You say, well, what if I look goofy? You know what? Get beyond yourself. Get over you. Who cares about you? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about getting out of the way and letting God use your life. If you just live this way one day, it's so addicting you can't quit because you sense the power of God moving to you and through you and it gets beyond you and it's flushing stuff out of you just doing it. You don't have time to worry about you anymore. You say, Lord, I had a bunch of stuff I needed you to do, but I'm too busy praying for other people, so you better just take care of this on the fly, you know. There's other passages, Colossians 4, 1 Thessalonians. I mean, simply put, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Paul just flat out just says, you know what, there's the deal, pray for us. All right, well, enough talking about it, let's do it.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.